Hello, everybody. Welcome to another show of You're the Cure. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. We're excited to have an awesome guest with us today. Before I bring him on, though, I want to talk a little bit, remind people of my journey from conventional medicine into functional integrative medicine. You know, I met that doctor 10 years ago that told me there's no such thing as diseases. They're all consequences. Of course, at the time, I kind of laughed at him, thought he was crazy. But over time, when I sent him, he challenged me to send the 10 sickest patients I had to him. So I did. These were really inflamed, chronically diseased patients, you know, a brittle diabetic ready for insulin, who is maxed out on oral therapies, a lupus patient who was not responding to conventional therapies, fibromyalgia, horrible depression, chronic urticaria, chronic prostatitis, just some tough cases that all the specialists weren't figuring out. So they all got better. Now, none of those folks had cancer, but the first conference that this doctor recommended I go to was a cancer conference out in California. And I sat down in that conference and it was a room full. I mean, there was probably 1,000 people in attendance, but there were doctors coming up on stage. And one in particular was a Columbia-trained oncologist, Dr. Nicholas Gonzalez. And he was presenting case after case after case of these incurable stage four, you know, pancreatic cancer, breast cancer, metastatic to the brain, you know, been put on hospice. They failed all their conventional therapies. And these patients were still alive and cancer free. And that absolutely blew my mind. I just walked out of there thinking, what in the world? How could this be? There is no way. I mean, I trained at MD Anderson, the best, quote unquote, best cancer center in the world. And it just is cognitive dissonance set in. And so we're going to talk about cancer today, and I'm going to prep y'all. If you're new to the truth, or if all the corruption of COVID has got you seeking out the truth in medicine in general, you know, today we're just going right to the heart of the matter with this cancer thing, because that's the big, big, big one. If there was actually a way, and I'm going to put this word in quotes, cure cancer, surely MD Anderson would know about it. And I'm not saying I can cure cancer or that my guest can cure cancer, although I'll let him speak for himself. But like everything else, I tell every patient that emails our office, do you treat fill in the blank? My answer always is no, we don't treat any disease. We treat the person, we treat the terrain. The body will fix itself if you give it what it needs and avoid what it doesn't. That is not just a slogan or a catchphrase. That's what we've based our entire last 10 years of practice at Veritas Medical on, that truth. The body has an intelligence that'll fix itself. Just get out of its way, equip it with what it needs, remove what's hindering the healing, and let it go. So if cancer happens to disappear, so be it. That I'm not claiming to have cured that person. I know the body does the curing or the healing. Now, conventional medicine will call this spontaneous remission. But it's interesting that there are some practitioners and some clinics in the world who have more consistent cases of spontaneous remission. And they just happen to coincide with these diet and lifestyle changes, aggressive diet and lifestyle changes, and other modalities of therapies that maybe aren't FDA approved or maybe not patentable. So we are going to dive right into that. We've got a great guest, Dr. Vickers, who specifically, and I'll let him kind of introduce himself, but works with the Gerson therapy. And y'all have heard me before quote from the book. The name of the book is A Cancer Therapy, Results of 50 Cases, The Cure and the Cure of Advanced Cancer by Diet Therapy. That book was written by Dr. Max Gerson. He was a medical doctor back in the 30s and 40s and 50s. And I often quote from this title page, cancer research hearings before a subcommittee of the Committee on Foreign Relations, United States Senate, 79th Congress, second session, July 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, 1946. And this was testimony by Dr. Gerson at the request of this committee regarding a bill to authorize and request the president to undertake to mobilize at some convenient place in the United States an adequate number of the world's outstanding experts and coordinate and utilize their services in a supreme effort to discover means of curing and preventing cancer. Again, that was a subcommittee hearing on the Committee of Foreign Relations, July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 1946, the 79th Congress of the United States. You can go look that up yourself. Dr. Gerson did go to that hearing and submit testimony and brought, I believe it was 10 cases of cancers that were put into remission. And that's what we're going to talk about today. And who better to talk about this than Dr. Vickers? Thank you, Dr. Vickers, for joining us today. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, Ben, that was great. Are you? You sound more like a chiropractor than a medical doctor.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I've repented to many a chiropractor. There's a little story back in when I was just in I was in medical school. My brother calls me, my younger brother. He was in college still, and his roommate was thinking about going to chiropractic school. So they called me because I was in medical school. And I remember telling this kid, no, don't go to chiropractor school. They're quacks. And I didn't have a clue even. I'd never been in a chiropractor's office. I came from a long line of allopathic, and no, it just was never talked about, really. So somewhere in there, I got indoctrinated that anything outside of an MD was quackery.
That's right.
Now, of course, I know that word quack and where it came from and the whole setup and the corruption involved with that. But anyways, I repent to all those chiropractors out there for ever saying that. But I take that as a compliment now. So thank you.
Absolutely.
Let's start with you maybe just sort of introducing yourself more to the audience, who you are and how you got to what you're doing now, some of that background. And then we're going to dive more into exactly what it is you're doing now.
Yeah, you bet. Thank you. Yeah. So my name's Dr. Patrick Vickers. I'm a 1997 graduate of New York Chiropractic College. When I was 11 years old, that's when I wanted to become a chiropractor. A friend of our family's was a chiropractor, and he was staying at our home for the weekend, and his three children were with him and his wife and his three children. Well, their five-year-old was sleeping with me in my room. Now, again, I was 11, he was five. He was sleeping with me in my room when he woke up with a cough that would not stop. He coughed for 20 minutes straight. It's like 3 a.m. His father finally heard him, came up, laid him on the end of the bed, adjusted his neck both ways. He didn't cough the rest of the night. He Wow. stopped coughing immediately, didn't cough the rest of the night. I was 11 years old. I was shocked. And I said, that's what I'm going to do for a living. So here I am, a year away from graduating chiropractic school, my lifelong dream. And a woman by the name of Charlotte Gerson came and spoke at my school, New York Chiropractic College in upstate New York. The moment she opened her mouth, I was shocked, but yet I knew it was the truth. I knew that we had been lied to, because as a chiropractor, you already understand that essentially. But I had absolutely no idea the human body was capable of healing what it was capable of healing with the Gerson therapy. And when she started talking about her father, I said, that's what I was going to do. And I demonstrated such a strong passion for her father's work that she invited me eventually to come live at her home in San Diego, where she had all her father's handwritten files from 1910 to 1959 in her garage of all his active patients, all his files. And I'm one of about a handful of people who've ever had the opportunity to go through those files. And so, you know, I'm intimately connected with Dr. Max Gerson, and most people have never heard of his name, even though 8 movies have chronicled his work. There is no other therapy in history that has that kind of recognition on an international scale. And that's why Nobel Peace Prize winner Dr. Albert Schweitzer called him the greatest genius in medical history. You know, you mentioned a bunch of diseases other than cancer, you know, prior to us talking here, and we're curing them all. We're reversing them all. Nobel Peace Prize winner Albert Schweitzer, 8 years before he won the Nobel Prize, had severely advanced diabetes. Gerson reversed it in 6 weeks. Those things, they are the simple stuff to reverse. And like you said, it's cancer that's the elephant in the room. It's the monster. And the Gerson therapy historically has the greatest ability and consistency to successfully reverse advanced cancer. And so that's what I do. I've lived with his family. I've taken his therapy. We now have what we call the advanced Gerson therapy, where we've taken his work and we've compounded on it based on everything that's come out in the scientific literature since his death in 1959. And so that's what I do. And it's just an honor to always talk about it.
That's awesome. Well, thank you for being with us today to talk about it, to educate our folks about it. Can you give a little bit of the background on Dr. Gerson as far as, you know, he was in Germany and then how he came upon this therapy and then his move to America?
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, it goes back to when he was a 6-7 year old boy. When he was a little boy, he would just randomly experiment with soil. He would pour things into the soil and he'd watch worms crawl out and go to the healthy soil. As a little boy, Dr. Gerson literally was a genius from a very early age. And so when he reached 18 years old and it was time to go to university in Germany, in order to get into university in 1900, you had to pass an exit exam out of high school. And on that exit exam, his calculus professor put a question on there that he'd never seen before. And he managed to come up with such an elaborate solution that she couldn't tell him whether it was right or wrong. So she sent it to all the top university math professors in Germany at the time. And they all wrote back saying, we have a mathematical genius within our country. And they all tried to recruit him for math. Wow. But when the family found out that they had a genius within their midst, they literally all got together at the Gerson household, aunts, uncles, cousins, brothers, sisters, they all got together and they had a meeting together as a family to discuss what he would study at university. And they all agreed that he should study medicine because that's where he would have the greatest impact on humanity. And here we are 120 years later, talking about the most censored doctor in the history of medicine who was reversing cancer and virtually every single degenerative disease and lived to pay the price of complete ostracization by his colleagues, complete persecution by his colleagues, by the government. So Dr. Gerson, he graduates from high school or from college, excuse me. While he was in college, he suffered from severe migraine headaches. So debilitating, he'd have to lock himself in a room for 1 to 2 days. So he cures himself of these migraine headaches by completely changing his diet and lifestyle. He cut out all the salt, fat, processed foods of the standard German diet of that time, which is essentially an extension of the diets we have today. And he cures himself, graduates from the University of Freiburg, opens up practice in Bielefeld, Germany, and he starts using this migraine diet. When all of a sudden a patient dying from tuberculosis comes back completely cured of their tuberculosis. Now, that was huge because this was a time when tuberculosis was literally killing 1 million people. So he starts realizing he can cure tuberculosis. When a guy by the name of Ferdinand Sauerbruch gets word, Ferdinand Sauerbruch's Europe's leading thoracic surgeon, he gets word that there's this guy curing tuberculosis. Well, Dr. Sauerbruch was the one operating on all these lung tuberculosis patients. He approaches Dr. Gerson privately, asks him to embark on a study of 460 advanced tuberculosis patients. And he says to Gerson privately, if you can cure but one of these patients, I'll believe every single word that you say. Dr. Gerson cured 450 out of the 460 tuberculosis patients. I mean, that's just outrageous. That's how simple it is to cure an infection with the Gerson therapy. Cancer is much more difficult. An infection is simple. But anyway, he goes on to start treating tuberculosis. By the way, this is when Hitler's at power. Gerson's a German Jew, raised in annexed Poland, born and raised in annexed Poland under German rule. All that family that was in that house that day were all murdered in the Holocaust. Gerson lost his entire family in the Holocaust, and he himself nearly died. He narrowly escaped being killed by the SS Army on his way to a lecture in Austria. And we can go into that if we have time at some point. But nevertheless, Hitler comes to power. He flees to France. Germany invades France. He flees to Manhattan, and he sets up practice on Park Avenue in Manhattan, literally on the same corner as Memorial Sloan Kettering, the largest cancer research hospital in the world at that time. And C.P. Sloan of Sloan Kettering even himself had to call Dr. Gerson, and he called him a notable quack. If you can believe that, a notable quack, C.P. Sloan. So he practiced right on the same corner as Memorial Sloan Kettering. When a woman got word that he was practicing in New York, she was from New Jersey, she got word that Dr. Gerson was practicing in New York, and she went to his offices and begged him to give her his tuberculosis treatment for her terminal gallbladder, liver, and stomach cancer. And he refused. He refused to treat her because even back in 1935, 1936, I believe it was, to treat cancer in the United States with diet and nutrition under a medical license would have put him at tremendous risk of losing that license. And so he refused. And then she came back again and again and again, and he refused her. Finally, he got so tired of her coming that he said, "Okay, ma'am, I will treat you, but I'm going to treat you in secret." And he ended up completely reversing her cancer. And at that point, he said, "I can no longer hide my face from this deadly scourge of cancer." And he dedicated the rest of his life to treating almost cancer specifically, to the much to the dismay of everything that he went through, which I'm sure we're going to go into in more detail. So Dr. Gerson, that is how he came to recognize that his powerful migraine treatment, which he had developed over time going forward, was able to reverse advanced terminal cancer.
That's an incredible story. Yeah. So as he started to actually treat cancer in Manhattan, I'm sure word kind of got around. I mean, got around enough for the senator from New York to invite him. I'm looking back at that date. This is July 1st, 2nd, 3rd, 1946. So he was able to practice for some time there, enough to make a name for himself and be asked to testify. And then if I remember, I can't find the book or where I heard this at, but shortly after that testimony, is that where the persecution started?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So here he is practicing in Manhattan, quietly doing his work, probably doing it a little bit under, you know, keeping it under the rug. And then it's hard to keep, you know, I mean, look, when Christ spoke, he said, you know, don't tell anybody what you saw or what you heard. Everybody's going to go and start shouting it from the rooftops. So, it must have been 7-8 years from when he started treating cancer, that in 1946, July 1st through the 3rd, like you said, the Pepper-Neely Anti-Cancer Bill had come to the floor of the United States Senate. And it was designed to appropriate, like you said, funding to anyone who could show promise in the realm of cancer research. And so he was invited to testify July 1st through the 3rd, 1946. And everyone in Senate chambers was so shocked that Senator Claude Pepper himself, the guy who sponsored the bill, said Dr. Gerson dedicated his life to the mastery of this scourge of cancer, and all should honor his great work. So what happened? Why wasn't it announced around the world that the cure for cancer had been found? Gerson was to give an interview to the international press after that testimony. He was to give an interview to the international press and was whisked away to the international press room. He sat there alone for an hour and a half. The international press was whisked away to another room, and an impromptu party was thrown on their behalf. They never got the chance to interview Dr. Gerson. However, luckily, present at his testimony was a man by the name of Raymond Graham Swing. Who's Raymond Graham Swing? Well, back then there were no TVs. So if you wanted to listen to the news every night, what did you do? You gathered around the radio, 7 o'clock Eastern time every night. And you had the opportunity to listen to the national or international news on ABC, NBC, and CBS network. The anchor for CBS was the famous Edwin Murrow. I don't know who the anchor was for NBC, but the famous anchor for ABC for 30 years at that point was a guy by the name of Raymond Graham Swing. And he was present at Gerson's testimony that night, that day. He went on his radio broadcast. Now, mind you, he'd been an employee working for ABC for 30 years. He goes on his broadcast and he says to the entire nation, folks, please forgive me if I don't have my morals correct in talking about all these other top stories. And there were some big stories. The Truman anti-racketeering bill had been signed. Something regarding Trieste in Italy had been signed about World War I. Big news. He went on and spent nearly a half hour to 45 minutes out of that entire hour telling the entire nation and world that the cure for cancer had been found. After his broadcast for 9 hours at Manhattan switchboards, the ABC switchboards in Manhattan for 9 hours straight, the lights lit up at that switchboard of people all over the world begging to find out where to get this treatment for cancer. Two weeks later, Dr. Gerson was fired, Raymond Graham Swing was fired from his job with ABC after 30 years of working at ABC News Radio. He was fired because he had become now an imminent risk to the system. Everything Dr. Gerson stood for and he was exposing to the world, he now become a risk. So you asked, what happened to Dr. Gerson? After his testimony before the United States Senate, he became a marked man. Dr. Gerson, up to that testimony, was one of the most published doctors in the world. He has a litany of publications leading up to those dates. And after his testimony in the United States Senate, he was now prohibited from testifying in all major medical journals around the world. He became relegated to publishing 4 or 5 things the next 20 or next 13 years of his life in rinky-dink medical journals and publications around the world. He then lost his medical membership to the New York State Medical Society, and he was completely ridiculed and ostracized by his medical colleagues and destroyed by the AMA. In 1959, he died at the age of 80, an extremely depressed man, very depressed. And you can imagine why. You've lost your entire family in the Holocaust, except you, your wife, and your 3 daughters. And you have the cure for virtually every single degenerative disease, and you are being completely censored and destroyed. And so this is the history of the Gerson therapy. And in 1956, a New York Times journalist was cleared by his editor to write a story exposing Gerson as a fraud. And after 1 month of researching his book, he completely switched and he ended up writing a book under a pen name so that it wasn't attached to his name. And it was called The American Experience of Dr. Max Gerson, Censored for Curing Cancer. And it is an absolutely remarkable book, and it gives you Gerson's word-for-word testimony before the United States Senate in 1946. So this is the history of the Gerson therapy leading up to Dr. Gerson's death in 1959.
That's an amazing story, too. Unbelievable. I mean, it is believable now as we see the corruption in medicine being on full display with COVID. But who do we know who was behind arranging the party for the international journalist and who was behind arranging for the firing of the broadcaster?
That's a great question. But, you know, it's pretty obvious at this point who would have arranged for the international press not to be whisked away and whisked to the international press room to interview him. You have to understand, during that testimony, Gerson wasn't only talking about how to successfully treat cancer. He was talking about everything that was causing cancer. And so what do you think that is? It's all the lobbying groups that are paying for the political campaigns of all those politicians that he was speaking to. The energy industry, the agricultural chemical industry, the food industry. He was talking and exposing them to their core. So it wasn't just the risk to the medical and pharmaceutical industry in those Senate chambers. All those senators' ears were perked up like, what do we do with this guy? Because he was exposing their bread and butter, which remains these guys' bread and butter today, which is continues to be the reason why I have to practice in Mexico, because I will go to jail and get my clinic shut down if I open up this practice in the United States, because they have passed laws making it illegal in the United States to treat these diseases, particularly cancer.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I want to remind listeners, I mean, there were advertisers, obviously, to the ABC radio, CBS radio, NBC radio, the newspapers. But even I want to just this little tangent, remind listeners that the there were lots of healing arts, obviously, before medical doctors, allopathic medical doctors came on the scene. I mean, thousands of years of traditional healing, Ayurvedic medicine, traditional Chinese medicine, Native American herbs, all different things. You know, the history of chiropractic, homeopathy. I mean, the American Homeopathic Association, I think, was founded in 1845, and that was 3 or 4 years before the AMA was founded. There were like 26 homeopathic medical schools in the United States in the late 1800s. Rockefeller and Carnegie, around 1910, 1911, somewhere in there, commissioned a guy who's supposedly an education specialist, Abraham Flexner. They commissioned him to go around the country to look at all these different medical education curriculum, from homeopathic, osteopathic, allopathic, chiropractic, herbalist, all these different things. And he reported back. It's called the Flexner Report. You can go look it up. He reported back, basically, in a nutshell, that there's just way too many different curriculums out there. We need to standardize medical education. We need to pick one model and standardize. And they, of course, picked allopathic medicine, which means a chemical-based, symptomatic treatment-based. So Rockefeller and Carnegie put their money into the allopathic schools. They put their influence and money into the politicians and the organizations like the AMA to marginalize and even make illegal some of these other practices of medicine that had been around for a very long time. And all these ancient traditional healing arts work with the body's ability to fix itself, to heal itself, where allopathic medicine uses a chemical-based and surgical, but mostly chemical-based approach to treat a symptom. High blood pressure is a symptom. High blood sugar is a symptom. A tumor in your breast is a symptom of an underlying disorder, dis-ease. And what do? We just throw pharmaceutical medication at it to lower the blood sugar. Well, what does that do? Nothing in regards to dealing with the root cause, insulin resistance. And so I just want to give that little backstory that this allopathic model really came in the scene in the the early 1900s, 1910, 1912, 1920, things were really ramping up. And I think it was by 1925, all the homeopathic medical schools were shut down. And they tried to shut down the chiropractors and a lot of these other institutions of natural healing. So it was right on the heels of that when the whole Gerson thing's coming onto the scene. So the environment at the time was very much, even though this was, you know, 100 years ago, it was already some collusion between AMA, big money, big ag, big chemical, and the understanding by Rockefeller that we could use these chemical byproducts from the petroleum industry to use them for fertilizer, weapons, and pharmaceuticals. And so that's where all this really started 100 years ago. Now, fast forward 100 years, what has this allopathic model gotten us? It's gotten us the sickest country in the world. Industrialized world, we're the sickest. We come in dead last in every health outcome category. So it's like spending the most money on an athletic department program. I give this example all the time. If Texas Tech had the biggest athletic budget, the best facilities, the best coach, the best recruiting class every year, year after year, and comes in dead last every year. There's no way Texas Tech would stand for that. That coach, that athletic director, they'd all be out on the can. But in medicine, we accept it. We accept that we die younger than all other countries. We have the shortest life expectancy, the highest infant mortality rate, the highest disease rate of all children. 54% of kids have a chronic disease. Adults with chronic disease, we're the sickest, worst country. So just stepping back, framing this conversation, reminding people. And now these MDs, they can be good people. Obviously, they go to med school to help people, but they get indoctrinated and brainwashed with only one way. Only one way. And that's the issue. So let's jump back into it. So Gerson gets totally ostracized. Sorry for that tangent there, Dr. Vickers, but that's hopefully all right. can appreciate that.
All right.
Dr. Gerson gets ostracized. And medical license at stake. Did he talk to us about how do we end up in Mexico?
How did we end up in Mexico?
Now, did Dr. Gerson end up fleeing New York from Mexico? Did he hang out in New York and just go?
No, he continued to practice in New York up until his death. Then in 1959, when he died, sadly, between 1959 and 1977, his therapy died with him. Nobody did it. And then in 1977, a guy by the name of Norman Fritz, who ironically, does that name ring a bell? Because he's the one who created Cancer Control Society.
Yep.
So Norman Fritz approached Charlotte Gerson and offered her all the money she needed to open up the first Gerson clinic since 1959. And so it was in 1977 that they decided to open up the clinic in Mexico, because a lot happened in 17 years, 18 years between 1959 and 1977. And most importantly, you know, Gerson didn't have to deal with chemo. And so the pharmaceutical industry, they didn't really have that power up until about maybe 10, 15 years after Dr. Gerson's death. But what happened in 1971? President Nixon declared the war on cancer. And all of a sudden, the pharmaceutical industry and the power that was wielded to them, they became a vicious opponent of natural therapies. And that is where you had to start fleeing the country in order to start treating cancer naturally. So when they opened the clinic in 1977, that's where they decided to open it, and it remains to this day.
All right. What an amazing story. We're up against a break. So Dr. Vickers, where's the best place for people to follow you, website or social media, or if people want to learn more about Gerson therapy, what do you recommend they go to?
Yeah, so our website is gersonclinic.com, and Gerson is G-E-R-S-O-N clinic.com, gersonclinic.com. You can always email us at director@gersonclinic.com. Those come straight to me. I do all the intake. And then our phone number is, 715-299-5070. That takes us also directly to our line. And that's how you get a hold of us. I encourage everyone to go on our website. And, you know, we have a store online as well where we have all the Gerson products and even specialty products that related to other, you know, other conditions and stuff. But, you know, online is a myriad of information, countless interviews with me, me lecturing on the science behind the Gerson therapy, which is absolutely indisputable, impeccable. And it's biochemistry 101. I mean, that's what it literally is. And I'm sure we're going to go into that after the break.
Yeah, that's exactly where I want to dive into. What exactly is the therapy? How does it work? What, and then maybe even some testimonials, and then we'll go from there. So guys, stick with us. We'll be right back. We are with Dr. Patrick Vickers, GersonClinic.com. Stick with us after the break. We'll get into the actual therapy itself. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure. All right, guys, we're back. Dr. Ben Edwards here with Dr. Patrick Vickers. GersonClinic.com is the website. We are talking about Dr. Max Gerson and the Gerson therapy. All right, Dr. Vickers, we left it with there's lots of resources on the website for people to learn and get educated, and even the lectures by you on the biochemistry and the science behind the actual therapy. So briefly describe, I know it can turn into a complex therapy, especially if there's new things added these days, which we'll get into that, but the basics, his original basic therapy and kind of the core therapy and then the science behind it.
Yeah. So, you know, just to break it down very simply, what is the Gerson therapy? It addresses two major issues. If you ever heard Charlotte Gerson answer the question, what's the cause of cancer? She always responded, it's deficiency and it's toxicity. Those, she said, were the two major causes of cancer. What did she mean by deficiency? Deficiency in that our bodies require 59 vitamins and minerals every single day coming from our diet in the form of pure organic fruits and vegetables. It's that simple. And today, for 30, 40, 50 years of our lives, we are eating cookies, cake, ice cream, white sugar, white flour, white rice, processed this, cooking with oils, high salt foods. All of these things are breaking down the internal immune system and destroying the immune system. And that's why the typical age is around 50 years old on average, coming into our clinic, but it is getting younger and younger, I must say. And they're coming in with these degenerative diseases because they're depleting their body daily for decades until the immune system can no longer fight cancer. You and I have cancer. I have cancer. You have cancer. My 18-year-old son has cancer. Cancer cells are running through our body, and the body naturally defends itself against those as we go on through life. A patient with cancer who comes in with a diagnosis of advanced cancer, the immune system can no longer tackle it. So deficiency is a huge issue today. The other issue is toxicity. We have belched everything into our air, our water, our food. They say now that there's upwards of 30,000 chemicals on any given day in our environment today. That toxicity in our environment is also breaking down organic systems in the body. So the Gerson therapy addresses those two issues specifically, deficiency and toxicity. And just to do it simply, how does it addressing it? Our patients are getting 20 pounds of organic fruits and vegetables every single day. Every single day, they're getting 20 pounds of organic fruits and vegetables. If it's not organic, they do not survive. It has to be organic. And we know the various reasons. I mean, pesticides, fungicides, herbicides, it's grown in just artificial fertilizers that only contains nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, and not the other 58, 59 vitamins and minerals you need to survive. And then it also goes to market being radiated. They radiate conventional food because if they can do that, they can store it on the shelf for longer. So anyway, it has to be organic. So 20 pounds, they're getting 13 fresh pressed juices every hour on the hour from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. They're getting fresh pressed juices. They get a couple within a half hour. So 13 fresh pressed juices every single day, every hour on the hour that have to be drunk immediately in order for them to be effective. Now we have to address the issue of toxicity. And Dr. Gerson made this protocol famous, the coffee enema. The coffee enema is the most potent way to detoxify the human body that you have. And so we can go into that at some point, but coffee enema, the juicing, and we also use castor oil for detoxification in order to address that aspect of what Charlotte defined as the cause of cancer, deficiency and toxicity. So in sum, the Gerson therapy is an intensive, highly specific dietary and detoxification regimen that also comes with its own specific line of supplements geared towards one thing and one thing only. And this is the secret to health, the secret to curing disease. And that book that you have that Dr. Gerson wrote, A Cancer Therapy, Results of 50 Cases. If you read that book, there's one word that he mentions over and over and over again. And that word is metabolism. Metabolism. Metabolism is the crux of the Gerson therapy. Deficiency and toxicity destroy the inner metabolism of the human body. And everything we do on the Gerson therapy, from the juices to the enemas to the very specific supplement protocol and the very strict, specific dietary rules, all revolve around the restoration of metabolism. Now, what does that mean? And how does metabolism relate to disease? It should be no mystery. What are we always told, even in the main international press? What do you hear is one of the primary risks of getting cancer in your life? Obesity. Obesity is one of the greatest risks of someone coming down with cancer. Well, what does obesity have to do with cancer? Metabolism. And metabolism is the breakdown of food into energy. When you see someone who's sick and or dying, what do you notice? They're lethargic. Why are they lethargic? They've lost the capacity to produce energy on a cellular level. And that happens over decades of being exposed to deficiency and toxicity. So everything we do is to properly restore the metabolism, the breakdown of food into energy. And it's the energy that rallies the immune system, rallies the immune response, and heals a sick and dying body and maintains a healthy one.
I think logically that makes sense on the juicing part. I want to dive into the coffee enema. Let's just go straight there because I'm trying to think like some of these conventionally minded people that blew their mind. Coffee enema, is that really what it sounds like? You put coffee up your rectum? And the answer is yes. And I want to say, and you could speak to this more than I could, but that was in the Merck Manual, the Bible of Conventional Medicine. Way back in the day, even conventional doctors were using that coffee enema. But explains a little bit of that. We don't have to go deep, but some of the science behind what it does to your liver and the detox pathways.
That's great. Yeah, the coffee enema. So look, this isn't instant Folgers crystals you're going to be sticking up your rear end, right? This is organic, properly roasted from a specific bean. It's a more alkaline pH bean. It's roasted a certain way, and you don't put it through a coffee maker with a filter. You have to boil it to extract its properties and make sure they're all there when you're doing the enema. So A coffee enema. Now you've heard everything, right? Well, again, it has been demonstrated scientifically to detoxify the body better than anything. Why? Your liver, it produces an enzyme called glutathione S-transferase. Glutathione S-transferase is one of the most potent detoxifying enzymes in the human body. The liver requires palmitic acid. Properly roasted organic coffee given rectally is loaded with palmitic acid. And it has been demonstrated that when you do one coffee enema, the production of glutathione transferase goes up 6 to 700% greater than normal. Wow. 6 to 700% greater than normal. And our patients are getting 5 coffee enemas per day minimum when they have advanced cancer. 5 coffee enemas per day. Now, the question is, people ask, well, two things. How does it get to my liver if I'm taking it rectally? And the answer is, it gets there immediately when it enters the rectum. Why? Because sitting right there are what? The hemorrhoid veins, right? The hemorrhoidal veins are staying right there as it enters the rectum. The hemorrhoidal veins immediately absorb the coffee and they carry it where? To the portal vein. And where does the portal vein end? It ends in the liver. And so anything you take rectally goes straight to the liver. If you drink a bottle of vodka, you're going to get really sick. Once it gets metabolized, broken down by all the digestive organs, you're going to get really ill. You take a bottle of vodka rectally, you're dead in 30 minutes. Anything that goes into the rectum goes straight to the liver. And so the coffee enema, when it's taken rectally, goes immediately to the liver, completely unadulterated, undigested, and it goes to work making glutathione transferase. You can't drink it and think you're going to get the same response. First, you're drinking a completely different bean, a completely different roast. Then it's going through the digestive system, and a lot of those palmitic acids are getting burned up in digestion rather going than straight to the liver unadulterated. So the most powerful way to detoxify the human body is a coffee enema.
Okay, thank you for that explanation. That's great. I want to go back to 1977, I think you said, Charlotte Gerson, yeah. Dr. Max Gerson's daughter, opened the clinic down there. And so she's not a physician, but of course she knew her father's work. But was it just her and some staff basically running the clinic? How did it grow from there? And the history, you know, when you came on board, that kind of thing. Let's bring it up to modern time.
Okay. So in 1977, yes, Charlotte Gerson and Norman Fritz opened up the first Gerson clinic. By the way, just anecdotally, Charlotte Gerson died 3 years ago. Okay. Up until her death, Charlotte was the longest living Gerson survivor. At the age of 12, back in, I don't know, 1912, 1915, she had terminal tuberculosis, and Dr. Gerson completely cured her. So in 1977, she carries on her father's work, and the clinic started to grow. And then there was a split between Charlotte Gerson and some other doctors. And why the split? Because for whatever reason, and God rest her soul, Charlotte refused to change and improve on her father's therapy from when he died in 1959. Now, if you read Dr. Gerson's book that you have there, he himself said, there's gonna come a point where my basic therapy's not gonna get the same results as it did when he was alive, because he saw where society was heading. And so if you understood Dr. Gerson, he was the consummate scientist. He was constantly changing his therapy and trying to perfect it based on what was coming out in the scientific literature of his time. 1959 to 1995, when the split occurred, that's a long time. A lot of stuff has come out in the scientific literature proving beneficial to cancer patients. And so for whatever reason, Charlotte Gerson refused to improve and advance her father's therapy. And so there was that split. And then I got kind of caught up in that split where I'm like, you know, I love Charlotte Gerson. I love her father's therapy left behind in 1959. But I also know that if he were alive today, his therapy would look a lot different than it did back then. Maybe not so much the dietary protocols, but a lot of stuff we know now about supplements and, you know, hyperbaric oxygen and infrared and things like that. Yeah. And so I left the Gerson Institute and I started building on Dr. Gerson's work. And that's what we call today the Advanced Gerson Therapy Protocol, or the Advanced Gerson Therapy Clinic, as the name of our clinic is. But that's essentially the history. And, you know, as much as Charlotte Gerson contributed, that was probably her biggest error, because she ended up splintering Dr. Gerson's most passionate supporters and doctors. And as we know, a house divided can't stand. Mm. When that division enters, and there was a lot of division. But anyway, so Charlotte died 3 years ago, excuse me. Charlotte retired 10 years ago, and she died just going on 3 years ago.
At the age of like
98. Yeah. You know, and listen, she lived the Gerson therapy perfectly. I mean, perfectly. For maintenance, for health, right? There are other things she didn't do. She didn't exercise, and she didn't get sun. She was someone who just didn't like to go out in the sun. And those are two things that are absolutely vital to health. You know, so she probably would have lived a heck of a lot longer had she applied those two things to her life. But so she dies 3 years ago. Her son, Dr. Gerson's grandson, Howard Strauss, would have been the next person to take on the face of the Gerson therapy. But he died 2 months later, walking his dog, of a massive heart attack. And so there now is nobody left to carry on that face, that passion that they had for Dr. Gerson's therapy. And so by default, I'm the only one really left out there continuing Dr. Gerson's legacy. And with that said, the reason why I opened up my clinic 10 years ago was I knew that when Charlotte retired, the people she was turning the institute over to were not going to carry on Dr. Gerson's legacy the way that it should have been carried on, and that they would run the institute into the ground. And that is exactly what has happened. They actually ended up turning on Charlotte Gerson, and Charlotte had to sue for some rights of her father's materials that she had gotten on behalf of the institute that she created. So at this point in time, and that's why I opened up my clinic, because I knew that once Charlotte retired, once she passed away, that Dr. Gerson's legacy and his therapy would once again be at stake and would die with her, just like it died with him from 1959 to 1977. And, you know, I'm so grateful I did it, because with Charlotte gone, with Howard gone, there's now nobody left.
Wow. Well, let's talk a little bit in the remaining minutes just some examples, some anecdotal stories, some testimonials, so people have an idea of cases that you've seen or even going back into Charlotte's days.
Yeah, I mean, patients that we've seen, right? One of the movies, if you look in one of the movies, and I forget her name, forgive me, but you go to the movie The Beautiful Truth. About 1 hour into The Beautiful Truth, they show a woman who was actually in the movie The Gerson Miracle 4 years earlier with 6 months to live with terminal ovarian cancer. She'd been through chemo, radiation, surgery, and when you see her come into the movie The Gerson Miracle, she's literally got 6 months to live. The movie The Beautiful Truth is done in the year 2008, and they show the footage side by side of her entry and what she looks like 4 years later. I just telling you right now, I get shivers up and down my spine because the transition and the transformation of her body is absolutely miraculous. But something we see every day, right? But seeing it for the first time, you're like, that is not possible. This woman, when you see her in the Gerson Miracle, she literally looks like death. And she is a beaming, beautiful model of health in the movie, The Beautiful Truth. That's a really dramatic expose of what we're capable of doing with the basic Gerson therapy alone. So that's probably one of the most dramatic cases. I've had a stage 4 rectal cancer patient, excruciating pain, bleeding rectally. She was a trainer of wild animals that they use for Hollywood movies. So when she walked into the clinic, I'm like, this woman is going to do the therapy. She's going to do it right. And she's going to heal. And sure enough, her name's Edie. I can't give you her last name, but she is completely cured today of stage 4 rectal cancer, bleeding rectally when she entered our clinic. And another one, which you can see a lot of interviews, I've done 3 or 4 interviews with him at this point, is a young man by the name of Michael. And he doesn't mind me mentioning his name, Michael Kaler, from Ohio. He came in with severely advanced lymphoma. Again, 6 to 12 months to live. He had a 5-inch tumor compressing his lung. He was in such excruciating pain when he came to our clinic. 3 years later, he is completely cured today. You know, so this is stuff that we see regularly. But in all due honesty, it's getting harder and harder to cure. And the reasons why is because each generation that's been born since Dr. Gerson's death is constitutionally weaker than the generation before. And they're coming into a more toxic, deadlier environment than you and I. So it's getting harder and harder. So we need to get more creative and creative on what to include or take away in terms of treatment protocols. But these are things that we still continue to see when people are faithful to do the therapy. And compliance is always the major predominating factor, usually, if someone's going to get well.
I'm glad you mentioned that, because I really want to end it on this part of encouragement for folks, the mindset, not just the commitment and compliance, like that trainer that you knew was going to be real committed, but even the mindset that, you know, a state of peace versus fear and stress and anxiety. How important do you put that?
Yeah. You know, like Charlotte rarely spoke about that. She always focused on deficiency and toxicity. And I was of the camp that, yeah, 90%, 95% of disease was related to that. But I have to say, after having this clinic for 10 years, the emotional and the stress component behind disease is much greater than I had originally thought. But with that said, when people are living a clean, and let me tell you, I've been doing this 25 years, I can count on my two hands the amount of people I've met that actually live and eat cleanly. We all think, everyone tells me, they say, I got stage four cancer. Other than that, I'm healthy. I got stage four cancer. Other than that, I'm healthy. I mean, I don't know. I don't know where to go with that, right? You know, so everyone thinks they're healthy and they eat healthy. Let me tell you, once you've embarked and learned about the Gerson therapy, you realize how unhealthy you really eat. And so, you know, if we're eating perfectly and cleanly, a lot of these emotional and stress factors, the body can adequately deal with. But you compound the state of affairs as it relates to the world we're in today, and you add in the stress, the faulty relationships. I can't believe how faulty our patients' relationships are. There's so much deep stuff going on in a lot of our patients that goes back, God knows how far, you know, but regardless, you know, it plays a major factor, but proper diet, detoxification should easily, you know, mitigate that. And, you know, and that's why we can still cure people in that case.
Well, what an amazing hour it's been. Thank you for your dedication, for everything you're doing at your clinic. Of course, for your patients, obviously love you, and for you being there and continuing on the Gerson traditions and legacy, and just being a student of history too. I mean, that's amazing history of
for unbelievable
the profession of medicine, but even just humanity and American history too, and the pharmaceutical corruption that's invaded, unfortunately. So, I mean, thank you for being dedicated to the truth and for all you do and for spending the hour with us. We'll have to have you back someday for sure. It's been an amazing interview.
Yeah, so thank you. My pleasure. And just one quick thing. If your listeners do go to my website and they go on and they click on gift, they enter the password podcast, and they have access, your listeners can have access to all our private videos that only our paid, you know, our paid clients have access to. So click on gift, put in the word podcast, the password podcast, and they can listen to all my private videos, lectures, interviews that we don't have just on the general website.
Awesome. Beautiful. And that website again is gersonclinic.com, everybody. Y'all been listening to Dr. Patrick Vickers, gersonclinic.com. Click on that gift button. Podcast is the word you want to put in there. Thank you once again, Dr. Vickers. Appreciate you being here. And thank you, listeners, for tuning in. We'll be back next week with another great show. I'm Dr. Ben Edwards. You're the cure.